our town and country office national. They've got your home or business office sorted. 258 Halifax Street.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a beautiful Tuesday rush hour, which is local and we are global. We are here for you. The text line is ready for you. Opinions, bring them in. Should face masks be mandatory here in South Australia? That's what Nicola's saying. Tuesday, December the 1st, SA economy will open up again. Byrne, thank you very much there. And the sample has rubber stamped the Crows and Port Magpies back into the 10-team sample competition next year. Is the competition better off without them? That's the question I'll ask you, Byrne.
That is a question.
And recruiting guru Matty Rendell will join us at 3:15 today about the trade grade. He's given Port Adelaide a B and the Adelaide Crows a C. We'll talk to him about that. And it's always a pleasure to bring in the beloved country boy of South Australia, Bernie Vince. G'day, buddy.
Don't know what just happened there, but yes, good afternoon, Jars. Good afternoon, Haydo. What a beautiful day it is outside too, Jars. A beautiful day.
I just said that. It's top of the show.
Well,
it's gorgeous.
You went for probably a little bit long. You asked me a question too halfway through, and now I've forgotten it. What is it?
No, about the sample.
Oh, yes. Well, we thought they wouldn't be back in next year, did we? But I'm not sure how they're going to do that. It's going to cost them a fair bit of money, but obviously they've found some money somewhere, Jars. But I think it's good for the competition, Jars. Yes, I do.
Good. Thank you very much. And masks, mandatory.
Don't like that. No.
Public. When you go shopping, have a mask on. When you go on public transport, mask on. When you go into the hospital, mask on.
I get it with indoor things, but no. We're a safe state, Jars. We don't need them.
Yeah, but Nicola's saying we should be wearing one.
Yeah, but I know.
At all times. Every time you go outside, you put a mask on.
Oh, what do you think about it, Jars?
No.
Yeah, well, why are you arguing with me then?
I'm not. I'm just trying to get my point across.
Which is?
Don't wear one.
Oh, God.
We're a bandana. Did you get that across?
You've got 133553. What do you think about that one,
Hayden?
Wow. I think we should, only because, just as we've proven, it takes one you-know-what to just stuff up the entire state and bring it to a halt. Mm. So,
What, just indoors, you reckon? Or
no,
outdoors.
When you go out, you know, buses and trains, and when you're out in the shops and hospitals.
Well, over in Victoria, they've just dropped masks outside. Right. So inside, you have to wear them. Yeah, outside, because there's not as much risk when you're outside in the open air. So maybe inside, Jars. But I feel like we're free of the virus again.
Well, not yet. We're still not out of the woods yet.
We're a lot better than last week. This time last week, we're a bit nervous.
Like I said, we'll catch up with Matty Rendell, one of the best recruiters going around. Yeah, I wish the Adelaide Crows were getting back on their books.
Why don't they?
Well, that's a damn good question. We might ask him that.
I don't think he's affiliated with a club at the moment.
No, he's not.
He was at Collingwood for a bit as well.
David Noble might pinch him to the North Melbourne Football Club.
They've worked together before. Do you reckon they'll finish top four in the next 2 years,
Not
Jars?
At all.
Well, Ben
Not
Buckley's come
all.
Out and Who? Said, Ben Buckley, the Press. I think he's the, is he the president?
No, he's the president,
Of North Melbourne. He said, you know what? No pressure, David Noble. Welcome to the footy club, but you have to get this team in the top four. Top four, Jars, within the next 2 to 3 years. Now, come on, Bucks. Come on, Benny
Can't
Buckley.
Go there. Can't
come
go
on,
there.
Mate. That's come on. Let's be realistic about things. I know you can set your expectations up high, but that's just a little bit silly there.
Right, you are. Farmer Tim's joining the show.
Yes, he
your
is.
Your father.
Yes, he's in the middle of
Burns
harvest
beef.
At the moment.
Yeah. Burns Beef's up and about.
Yes,
you got a good one for us?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so, Jars.
What's this? Not sure.
I'm taking a little bit of a different tack today, Jars.
Have you now, Burns?
I'm going to see how you go with it, how you handle it.
Now, Burn, I want to share something. As you know, the draft is not far away, December the 7th. So a lot of nervous young men are out there waiting to be picked up by their respective clubs. But honestly, I'm absolutely gobsmacked. So young Tanner Broome was interviewed by the Adelaide Crows, right, recently.
Yes, yep.
And he's come out and said that he was gobsmacked by the questioning by the Adelaide Crows.
Cricketer, wasn't he?
He's a young cricketer. And he's good mates with Jai Caldwell.
Yes,
they were cricket mates at Geelong Grammar.
Oh, right.
So the question was asked to young Tanner Broome by the Adelaide Crows list management team. How would you get out your best mate in cricket?
They asked him how...
Well, what the hell has that got to do with picking up a young potential draftee? What kind of questioning is that? That is ridiculous.
Ben. Don't know unless they were trying to pick him on their team for change room locker cricket.
Please.
Maybe the bushfire appeal game, Jars. Maybe they're asking about that because that was.
Well, this young lad was gobsmacked. Couldn't believe the questioning. Where do they come up with all these questions? Don't you want to know about his family background, his likes, his dislikes,
his junior footy club.
He's passionate about?
Yeah.
But don't ask a question, how would you get your mate out in cricket?
Well, maybe they were just trying to break the ice, Jars. Like, you know, you can ask some questions.
Sorry, I don't buy that.
You know what? They're known for throwing in a bit of a wobbly question on draft.
That's not a wobbly question. That's not a left field type question. That's a ridiculous question to ask a young man.
Well, mate, I'm not sure why.
Did you get any ridiculous questions thrown at you when you were picked up?
It was a while ago now. I was sort of from left. No, I hadn't done anything wrong. I hadn't been caught for doing anything wrong at that stage. But when did I get drafted? Back in 2005, I was a bit of a late draft bowler, what they call Jars. So I was playing country footy right up until sort of halfway through the season or towards the end of that season. So. Did get interviewed by a couple of clubs, and Adelaide was one of them. Mm. And I do remember a bit of a curly question. James Fantasia, who was the recruiting manager at the time at Adelaide, asked me, he said to me, what would you do? Obviously, Mark Rusciuto was the captain at the time.
Righto.
He said, what would you do if you saw Mark Rusciuto urinating in public at a pub, in a pub car park or something like that?
Wow.
And, you know, I guess what all the young kids normally say is, I would tell the club, I would say this, and I'd pull him up. Yeah. And I just said, wouldn't do anything. I'm not going to tell Mark Rusciuto what to do. And I think that put him back a little bit. But I was just being honest.
Yeah.
I didn't know Roo at the time.
Right.
I had never met him. Yeah. And if I'm going to go up and go, Roo, maybe go to the toilet, mate. I probably would have just unzipped and gone next to him.
Join the queue.
They throw all sorts of questions. I think it's more they throw it in to see if you're sort of telling the truth
or
you're just telling them what they want to hear. Mm. And you know what? They go back at you a few times and go, you'd do that, would you? You'd do that.
Okay.
Mm. And then you go, yes, I would. But I don't know. It's all about pressure jars and under pressure situations.
It is. I've got a friend of mine that works at eBay, and she got the job because they asked her, that glass you're drinking out of, how many pieces would it break into if it broke? And she was the only one that picked up the glass and threw it and counted the pieces.
Yeah, brilliant.
That is absolutely true. That's how she got the job.
That shows leadership.
It does. Yeah. Well, they wanted to see who was a thinker and who was a doer.
Gee. Yeah.
Mm. And what's that movie when they go, sell me this pen?
Is this another one of those crows questions?
There you go.
No, and it's unbelievable.
Wolf of Wall Street.
That is Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, there you go.
Unbelievable answer. He gets a job and turns into the biggest player in the
well
world.
Done.
Yeah. How would you get Bernie Vince out, Jazz?
Me?
I want to know how you would
knock
get
his off stump. The ground.
Out in the town.
Mm. I would have put race 5 on the scoreboard while he's at the crease just to make sure that he's checking. Where's my multi? That has just left us speechless. Now, I want to know if there's anybody out there that tips and if you should or you shouldn't. 133353.
A generous patron has left a mind-blowing tip at a restaurant in America, Byrne.
What's mind-blowing? Give me a figure.
I'll tell you what it is. Now, this individual walked into a bar... Right, ordered one beer.
Yes.
Right,
how
one
much
beer,
the
Byrne.
Beer?
Well, it's $9 Aussie.
Oh, yeah. So, what, tip?
About
maybe
$7.
Dollar,
yeah. $2. Well, not yet. Just, you know what? What is it? $5 your tip over there in America?
30%. Well, it's between 20% tip.
Now, as the individual got up to sign off his little credit card, he put a tip of $3,000.
What?
I'm not lying.
Did he press the button too many times?
No, you can see the receipt. Yeah, well, he did.
On a card? $3,000
US.
For one
He gave a tip to this restaurant. That's what, 4,000, will be about 4 grand Aussie. Boom.
Jeez.
For a single
beer.
It must
be going pretty well. Or the service must have been incredible, Jars. But what about that? The person working there, because they... If they're working and they get a tip, that goes straight in their pocket, Jars.
Well, it does. So that was shared amongst
anyone?
The four waiters there. Pardon?
Oh, you
no,
share it there.
The owner shared it amongst his waiters that were working at the time. Just imagine that happening here in Australia. Or does it happen?
It doesn't happen here enough, Jars, I don't think.
So you think we should tip?
Well, I think we should tip a bit more, yeah. Ooh, I think we should round it up at least. Like, if you go for, say you get two beers now, what are they worth? About $8 or $9?
Yeah.
$18, just say, give them 20.
Oh,
keep that.
Oh, big spend. So you're a tipper.
Well, it's only a little bit, Jars, but if everyone's doing it in the pub, like, that adds up over time.
Or if it's in America, $7.25 US is the minimum wage, which a lot of bar people are on. Over here in Australia, it is $19.84 per hour.
So they rely on the tips, Heyday.
They do rely on the tips.
Wow.
Well, that's why.
$3,000 just for a beer.
Yeah.
No,
well, that's a little bit
generous.
Silly, Jars. That's
you
a
think it's
silly.
I think it's generous. What a big-hearted man he is.
Well,
he's got some wealth behind him.
He must have a lot of wealth behind him. But imagine doing that at three different bars, Jars. Three beers cost you $9,000.
Just imagine that, walking into the pub and going, oh, here you go. Here's a $5,000 tip.
You go back to him and go, excuse me, sir, I think you've made a mistake here.
Do you just grab it and run?
Ben, have you ever given a big tip?
No, you haven't.
Yeah, one at Sandown tomorrow. I've got.
It's the rush hour.
Now, Burn, before we get to Farmer Tim, you got some text messages from the family. What are they saying?
A lot of text messages coming through, so keep sending them. I'm going to read them out. 0488851047. One here from Jamie. Masks are a load of shite.
Right.
I've never worn one and never will.
Oh. Nicola Spirier said that face masks, she thinks, should be mandatory, that when we go into the public forum, we should wear one.
Okay.
All right. Victoria, now, you know Victoria, they've done all that. Now they've been released.
Now, Jars.
Right.
So, yes. Indoors only for them over there.
It'd be interesting what people think.
Yes. Also, we've got another one. Scotty from Hampstead Guns.
Scotty boy.
Since when have Bernie and Jars been on this early? Great news, boys. I love it.
Good on you, Scotty. You're a good boy, Scotty. Oh, no, we're just helping out the clan, aren't we, Hato?
Yes, we are. We're helping out the flag clan.
No, I said the clan.
Was good. You joined family and clan. You went with flam. So that's okay. We got it. I got it.
All right.
Oh, speaking of fam.
Triple M.
Thank God I'm comfortable.
Bernie and Jars.
It's Put the Bum in Country Bumpkin. So now it's time for the Triple M Farmer.
Here he is, Farmer Tim. Good afternoon to you, young man. Welcome.
G'day, gentlemen.
Oh, is that it? G'day, gentlemen.
Very formal.
Mate, you're live. You're live around the nation. You going to say something else?
I'd like to just point out that those masks are no good. Try drinking a stubby through one. Useless.
Takes all the floaties out anyway. Catches them. It's like a filter.
Good point.
We like to get the full body over here. We're growing the moulding barley, so we want to drink the moulding beer. Beautiful.
Hey, how did COVID or the lockdown affect you? Because you're waiting on announcement last time we spoke to you last week. What was that announcement, and were you held up at all?
Yeah, we're worried that the Viterra silos were going to shut, but to their credit, they kept the wheels turning, and we're able to keep reaping. It's pretty hard when you've got a crew of blokes standing around. If they shut down, it would have been awkward, but I've got to say, my workers are pretty keen, and they all just shoot the trip land too, don't worry. So they're all good boys. I better give them a plug.
Farmer Tim, what about the lightning? Did it create any fires up that way over the last week or so?
Well, when you're on a header working hard, Charles, you sleep well. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, Serena woke me up. I got the tap on the shoulder. I didn't know what to expect. Yep. She could smell smoke. She could smell smoke. So she went out the front door. I went out the back door and walked around, checked everything over. You could smell smoke, but we couldn't see any flame, so back to bed. And it does
just
make you nervous.
Sleep? Does, yeah.
Yeah, back to sleep, yeah.
Yeah, good.
It does make you nervous when you got all that machinery out in the paddock and the stubbles and the crops, and it's not good. But we've got a pretty good run now for the rest of the week, so that'll be good. Should get a bit off.
Excellent.
Hey, last week, bit of an issue at Stansbury. You kept all the cricketers up because your sheep started running around through the town. They're eating.
What the hell is going on?
They were eating Nana's roses. No. They were out the front of the pub. They were trying to get on the deck of the pub, and that's how they knew that they were yours, apparently.
Yeah, a couple of my mates rang and said they're only down there looking for you.
Pardon the pun, you?
Yeah. Now, and that's another thing I picked up on too, Ben. You're talking about tipping. When was the last time you actually shouted? How do you need to tip?
Oh yes.
I think your mate there with you is not much better than
what
I can make.
He started celebrating.
Please, he got take offence.
Oh. So really, I reckon just leave the tipping to the Yanks because you two would have no idea.
Now, can we talk about the Stanbury Cricket Club? The top order have failed this year so far. Now, you gave them the week off because they're under a lot of pressure, those boys out there. Your captain coach, Fitzy, how's he coping?
Pity.
Yeah, no, he's... You know what saves him Saturday?
What?
The COVID lockdown. We didn't play. That's all that saved him. We're playing the bottom side at Corny Point, and I was tipping he'd probably get an absolute first baller.
Yes.
He's not good at Corny Point. I think it's the sea air. He gets down there and he smells the crayfish, and you know, he heads in the air. No idea.
Saved by
COVID.
He choked down at 20.
Yeah. It's a fair trip down there. Yeah. 90 k's. I think they have a couple of subs on the way down.
It's been known to happen.
Now, Bern and I will be available and ready for the next game. So will we fit in? Will we bat in the top order?
Yeah, well, I would have thought anywhere above five. Yeah, there's open shares galore.
No one's made any. Hey, how did you handle the pub shutting down? Because they shut for a few days.
Why did everyone go? Well, most of your brother-in-laws were at my place and they belted hell out of my beer fridge. So...
Surely they bring their own.
You and Jars will bring a couple of cartons over when you come.
Well, don't they bring their own beer? Is that Mossy?
No. Yeah, Mossy. Mossy. Corey. Corey. Jack. They're all there. And they're all on my beer. I was glad when lockdown opened up. Good. Get them back to work.
Mate, thanks for your year, thanks for your time, and thanks to your sponsor too. You've got to give them some love. They've been wonderful.
This morning I put the Centurion panels around one of our field bins. We were tailing some lambs, and we put the panels down. They worked a treat, so get on them. They're good stuff.
Mate, they actually paid for fencing and sheds to rainwater tanks, centurion.com.au. But
thanks, why do you need to plug them? He just did.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Mate.
Absolutely.
No worries.
Have a great Christmas. I'll see you soon for a froth. My shout.
Righto. Oh, see you, boys. I might even get you to tip.
Charles wants to know how you use a credit card. He doesn't know. He hasn't got one. See ya.
Farmer Tim.
Batten down the hatches. Hold on to your hats on Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars.
You got beef with me.
It's time for Bernie's Beef.
For country living homes, anything from transportable and lightweight homes to brick veneer and luxury constructions.
This is the last one for the year, family. He's done a mighty job every Tuesday on the top rating Rush Hour. Our boy lines someone up right between the eyes, Burns Beef, which is talked about all around the world. Last one for 2020, Burn. Who have you got in your sights today, buddy?
Well, I'm changing it up today, Jars.
Ooh, whoa, hello.
I'm not unhappy. I don't have a beef this week, Jars. It's our last week on air, our last Tuesday. What would I be negative about today? Like, there's not like anything's been happening in Adelaide that I should be upset about anyway, so... Why would I even bother?
Well, what do you mean you got no one in your sights? What's this positive Burns Beef?
Well, I haven't got anything, Jar.
What are you eating now? You can't be eating in the studio. You know what Matty O'Reilly, our boss, says? No eating. What are you doing?
I missed lunch, Jar, so I've just called in and got a pizza on the way in.
You can't eat on air, Burn.
I'm just eating a bit of pizza, Jars. I was hungry on the way in.
So you're eating a pizza?
Yeah.
Well, where'd you get your pizza from?
I've been at my sister's house at Woodville South there on Davis Street, and I thought, you know what? I'd called Pastors just off Port Road. I thought, I'm going to get a pizza. There was no lineup, Jars. There's no one there. There's a good Spanish bloke served me.
He did.
And he even offered to deliver it for me, Jars. I said, why would I want it delivered? I'm here. Gave him a cuddle and a kiss. A hug.
What flavour is it?
Oh, it's the pork. He said it's his special. The porky pie pizza, Jars. Hey, geez, he's good at that one. No, but let's get back to it, Jars. You know, I'm having a positive week. It's been a positive year. We've all been happy.
It hasn't been a positive year. The Crows picked up the wooden spoon, you knucklehead.
Oh, geez.
Well, you know what? They're a developing team, Jars. Let's go glass half full. They're going to get the pick number one. They've got five picks inside the top 30. There's glass half full.
And you're happy with the COVID year?
No. Oh. Hey, look, we've changed some things permanently. Jars, we're going to have Zoom meetings. We're going to save petrol, save driving here around the place. We've learned some things from that, Jars. Eddie, what else?
What, you happy for Brad Crouch to be in a St Kilda jumper next year, are you? So you're happy about that, are you?
Jeez.
I forgot about him, though.
Here he goes.
What pick do we get for him? Pick two, wasn't it?
No, pick 29.
Oh, you bloody bullshit. Okay, I forgot about that one. Right. There's only one thing I'm not happy about. Then. That's it for the whole year.
No, you can't, mate. Greg Blewett's still the batting coach at the Redbacks.
Oh, you are f***ing kidding me. I thought he got sacked years ago.
He was going so well.
Here he goes.
This was meant to be a positive.
Okay, that's two.
What about the Stansbury Cricket Order top order batting side?
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah, they let me down one more time. Jars, don't stir me up.
What about the Port Adelaide prelim final loss?
Right, that's it.
That's been an absolute
year.
Yeah.
I've been locked up, locked in, locked down. There's been no golf. I have to sit down to have a beer now. Sit down to piss. Oh, no, that's you, Jars. Sorry. I can't have a house party.
No.
What else are they taking off me? This year's been bullshit. In fact, I have to work with you, Jars.
No.
That's the biggest punishment of any club I've ever had.
I forgot to tell you. You've got to wear a mask now. It's mandatory.
Yeah. I quit. I'm done. You know what?
I was going to say,
I'm positive. I'm going to try and bring the beef back next year.
Yes.
You know what?
I'm not even
coming back next year. You can shove your beef where it fits.
And take your pizza with you.
Hey, give me that last bit.
Byrne, things are happening by the minute in our world. Now, David Warner, who will open for Australia against the Indians in the first test. Now, there's some conjecture about who he may open with. Obviously, Joe Burns is his preferred partner. And Will Prokoski, the young talent.
He's on fire.
Absolutely. Well, Michael Clark's been slapping David Warner because he said this.
As we know, it's harder to get out of this team than get in. So whoever they go with, you know, I'll be well and truly happy with, as long as that person who come in does their job. And at the moment, I didn't think Joe did anything wrong last summer. We put on some great partnerships, average over 60, and that's what you want from your opening partnership. So at the end of the day, it's upon the selectors to pick their team, and I've got to be happy with that and just embrace it.
So why would Michael Clark slap that?
Well, what he's saying is that Warner's not a selector, so he can't come out and say who he'd prefer to open with and sort of endorse someone because
Warner didn't say that.
Well,
he said it's up to the selectors at the end of the day. He'll support whatever decision they make.
He subtly said it, Jazz. He subtly said, I can't see why you'd put Burns out of the side because it's harder to go out than come in. But you pick people that are in form. We can only go off the Sheffield Shield form. And Prokofsky went back-to-back 200s. He made another 100. So I feel like if he's ever going to be picked, you want to be picked when you're in great form like that, Jazz. So get him in.
Okay. Well, it's a good position the Australians to be in anyway for the first test against India.
It is. 7-8.
Yes, Haydo.
Got an update here, gentlemen. A little bit of investigating that I've done on behalf of Bernie Vince.
Yeah.
Now, about a month ago.
Yes, Haydo.
I came across a signed Bernie Vince football boot, proof certificate of authenticity, Melbourne Demons.
Too. Yeah.
It has a $169 price tag on it. Now, the thing was, Bern, is I showed this to you and you said never signed it and probably the main reason being is the fact that it is an Adidas boot. Now, you did not wear Adidas.
I didn't, I don't think.
No, you did not wear. But I confronted the guy selling it, and all he sent back was a link, which I'm going to open for you right now.
No. This is
give it to me.
On the front foot. So let's just have a look here.
What's he got?
Okay. Triple M.
Jars, what's he signing?
Bernie and Jars. Oh, there's Bernie Vince signing that particular.
You have lied to us.
What are our three pillars on the rush hour? Passion,
the only pillar
trust,
I,
and honesty.
The only pillar I know, Jars, is the one I put my head on at night.
Boom, Tish. So you have signed the boot. You don't even recall it, do you? $169
That boot was signing session. And
in the Melbourne Demons.
I was a little bit confused, Jars. Oh, I can just see. I definitely have signed it. Confirmed. Yes. Seen it.
That's you. That's Bernie
Vince. Will you
that
see
is
a cent of
definitely
it, though?
Me. But no, I won't see a cent of it. But the thing is, is I thought they meant it was my playing boot that I signed. So
there it is.
Yeah, so I've
You got no idea.
So 169, but geez, that's quite expensive for a boot I didn't wear. Is it sold?
Mine went for about 400.
Yeah,
plus.
But that was because it had Burns' signature on it. Now, very soon.
What'd you say then? Did you get Darren to sign it too?
Burn, let's talk some football. He drafted Paddy Dangerfield and Rory Sloane at the Adelaide Crows. He's still the best in the business as far as we're concerned. VFL great, Hall of Famer, and AFL recruiting guru Matt Randell joins us. Matty, thanks for your time on a Tuesday.
Jonathan, Bernie, how you going, fellas?
We're going well now. The trade period's been finished. You're happy with Port Adelaide. You gave them a B, yet the Adelaide Crows copped a C. Why is that?
Well, they really didn't need to do anything. We're talking about a trade period. So their focus was basically just on the draft this year and the draft next year, to tell the truth. They're going nowhere probably in the next couple of years, but they're setting themselves up beautifully for about 3 years' time. They've already started with some great kids coming in over the last 2 years. They'll get a heap more over the next 2 years than we've seen. But you can really fix your club by getting two or three drafts right, and then you can start looking at free agencies and trading for players. They really didn't need to trade any players in this year.
Yeah, Matty, 5 picks in the first 2 rounds for Adelaide, and obviously that coveted number 1 pick, first time Adelaide's ever had it. Who would you lean towards in your eyes? Do you go the local boy in Riley Tilthorpe, or do you just take best available at number 1?
No, I think you've got to go the local. I mean, 200-centimetre mobile key forward, come ruckman, don't come across your deck too often. So, look, by all reports, he's a ripping kid. The only downside I've heard from him is that he overtrains. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd rather have a kid come into the system that overtrains and you can pull him back than trying to get some lazy kid to do more work. So, look, is he the best player? Well, Hugo Hagen's probably the best player. Is he the second best player? Probably on this year, you would say Logan McDonald. But there's not a lot between Logan McDonald, Riley Tilthorpe, probably Denver Grange and Barras. You have to go for the local. It just makes a lot of sense that they do that. Look, obviously the major risk is you leave Tilthorpe on the table and you pick Logan McDonald. And, you know, where West Coast are with Kennedy probably retiring at the end of next year and Fremantle looking for key forwards as well. So you think that they're going to be straight on the phone trying to get him back in 2 years. The risk is too great to go there, even though he's a really good player. But, you know, Tilthorpe's going to be a really good player for the Crows too.
Yeah, that's the last thing Adelaide want to happen is pick a number 1 draft pick and then he heads home in a few years. The Adelaide supporters would go nuts. Now, Matty, I just want to ask you about the recruiting process. Now, you've been a recruiter at a few clubs now, and obviously you've got other recruiters under you. You go and do your scouting. Just for the people out there, do you rank them all in a draft order leading into draft night, or do you get position specific, or when do you set that final order on draft night, or does it change?
Oh, it changes a lot during the year. It changes massively. Some players were really late, like Oliver, who went to Melbourne.
Clayton Oliver,
Clayton Oliver, he came from nowhere. Bontempelli came from nowhere too as well. They both went pick 4 in the draft. It chops and changes all the time. The greatest issue I see with recruiters is you get so much time between the end of the season and the draft that you keep looking back over them. You know what you do? You start to find faults with them. And I tell people all the time, stop watching them. I said, you trust your gut feel.
Yep.
What you saw originally, what you did originally, stop trying to find fault and look at what they're really good at. And, around positions, I mean, look, if it's a tall's draft, and there's been a few in my time, like the 208, was a great tools draft, and I said to the boys, we had Rutten, who was about to retire, and Bock was, get it on the other side of 30. They ended up retiring, and Bock ended up going anyway. And I said, well, we've got to take Phil Davis at pick 10. He's going to captain the club. He'll be hold key back for 12 years. I targeted the tall there.
Yep.
And you've got to, when you get some tools in the draft, you have to elevate them. Now, it's really hard to put them in the same bracket with your midfielders. So I tend to have two lots of listings. You know, the talks, the rucks are separate, the key forward, key backs, are separate, and the midfielders and everyone else goes into another bracket. And I tend to work off that, and try and pick your players using that. Now, early in the draft, you just go the next best player.
But
if you're getting to second, third rounds, you might be trying to target a specific hole that you might have on your list you want to try and fill.
Yep. Matty, before we let you go, and love what you're saying, Crow's not interested in young Luke Edwards. Do you think he'll get picked up?
Yeah, that surprised me. But look, I'm only going off last year, so I didn't see any of them play this year. But I really like how he played on that grand final day in that game. That was a really high-class game, and I thought he did really well off half-back and on ball. So I'm surprised he's gone backwards this year, obviously. Mm-hmm. But they've got a couple of other players there that they go, obviously, Ballace went forward.
Right.
And Newchurch is an unbelievable talent. Mm. I mean, he's hot and cold, but his best is superstar stuff. So clearly they're going to take those two. And look, they might take him later in the draft. They're probably just trying to work out what numbers they are that have left for their list as well. So, look, he'll get picked up somewhere, I'm sure. And if it's with the Crows with a later pick, that's good. They just couldn't commit to him, obviously.
Mate, love your stuff. Keep up the good work. Looking forward to draft night on December the 7th. Thanks, Matty. You're a superstar, mate. Matt Rendell there.
The Premier addressing some pretty good news next week when it comes to going back to pre-cluster COVID conditions.
Yahoo!
And that's a bit of a surprise as well.
I don't have very much to say today. Assistant Commissioner Peter Harvey will be making a statement later on this afternoon in relation to the status of the investigation, so I don't intend to steal his thunder, and I'm sure you'll have plenty of questions for him at that time. Happy to take any questions before I hear back.
Is there any update? At all?
It's been a bit of a circus, hasn't it, Jars?
Active listening, you call it, Jars.
I taught you B-graders, some of those journos.
I taught you
they're
that.
They're fed income B-graders.
Was that make you?
Well, what?
Well, you do that.
At least I'd try and do my homework and ask some intelligent questions to the commissioner, but that's just dumb.
That's having set questions and sticking with them, Jars. That's what that's called?
Absolutely. This is what the Premier had to say.
We have signalled that next Tuesday, the 1st of December, is the day that we will go back to where we were before the Parafield cluster and further lift those restrictions. We do not want to have any restriction in place for one day longer than we need to. We want to open up our economy, we want to get people back to work, and we want to see businesses booming ahead of the festive season.
What do you think, gents?
Needs to open up now. Businesses in the city are screaming. Freddie downstairs at Canetto's, they are on their knees.
Need to get people out, don't we?
Need to get people back into the city working.
Nah.
This staying at home business. If we're all on the right track and we're all doing the right things, get people back in the city now.
Yes, it's
don't
all about
wait any longer.
All about active listening, Jars. What date was that again?
December the 1st, Byrne.
Oh, yeah, right.
See you next Tuesday. Triple M.
You know what it's time for?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact. It's fantastic.
Listen for her today.
What do you got today, buddy?
You like going to the movies, Jazz?
Absolutely. Maz and I would go to the movies, have a little cuddle and a little bit of a kiss.
I didn't ask anything about that. No. I said movies, nothing about the other stuff. Yeah. But do you like the movie trailers?
No. Oh, actually, no.
Well, movie trailers were originally shown after the movie, Jazz, which is why they were called trailers.
Oh, that's a good one.
The problem with the trailers showing after the film was that the audience wouldn't stay around and watch them, making the trailers rather ineffective.
Yes.
That's a great point,
isn't it? That's
the best
one. That is the best one so far.
Should I leave it at that? Or
no, keep going, buddy.
Okay, I've got another one.
What else?
What do you reckon the smallest bone in your body is?
It's your little toe, your little pinky.
No. Ooh. The smallest bone in your body is in your ear, Jars.
Of course.
It's in your ear. The stapes, it's called, is a bone in the middle ear of humans which helps conduct sound vibrations for identification.
Oh,
and
stop.
There you go. And you know what size it is?
What is it, Byrne?
You'd be familiar with this?
Yes, Byrne.
1 millimetre.
The ears were full of cartilages.
Well, what is cartilage?
Tex reckons he's got no cartilage in his ear. That's why one ear hangs out and flaps.
Is that serious?
He might not have a stapes bone to hold it all together.
Tex has got a
satellite dish with those bloody ears.
Yeah, he reckons there's no cartilage in it.
You can land a chopper on that left ear. God. Is that what happened to his ear? He's got no staples.
No cartilage. No brain either. See ya.
Our Town and Country Office National. They've got your home or business office sorted. 258 Halifax Street.